KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 49 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a chance of light rain this morning. Light rain or drizzle this afternoon. A high early this morning around 52 degrees, with temperatures nearly steady or slowly falling during the day. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Radar shows some very light precipitation over the Stuart, Menlo, and Dexter areas. Also far off to our west over reports most of Harrison County and a good chunk of Pottawatomie County in the southwestern tip of Harrison County, or Shelby County, I should say. Those are moving off to the north. In the news, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources reports the River Valley OHV Park in Council Bluffs will remain closed for 2019 due to necessary cleanup following floods and a major fire this past summer. The 360-acre park is located just east of the Missouri River and adjacent to a levee that often causes excessive amounts of standing water for periods of time following a flooding event. After a period of closure, the park was open from 2017 until May of 2018. That's when an illegal campfire destroyed the park and created unsafe conditions for users. Following the fire, several flooding events occurred, which delayed addressing the hazards. Cleanup work can only take place between November and March due to the Indiana bat being present in the area. The Indiana bat is a native of North America and is commonly found in the Midwest and is on the endangered species list. That, coupled with the weather conditions, has created a challenge for the DNR to find a time for potential contractors to evaluate the area on site in safe conditions and form a plan of removal of the debris. The park, therefore, will remain closed until further notice. That park has signage posted and use of all the park is restricted, including motorized and non-motorized recreation. Officials say any violators will be charged with trespassing. Well, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources reports unseasonably warm weather is causing ice conditions to deteriorate across most of Iowa. And lakes with the best ice are north of Highway 3. DNR Fishery Bureau's Chief Joe Larscheid said you should use caution and test the ice thickness frequently if heading out and trust your instincts if it doesn't look right. And don't go out on the ice. Larscheid recommends you go with someone else and take some basic safety equipment.
Having a floatable rope with you along, and even ice picks. Ice picks, you know, help you get a grip on the ice. If you do fall through, you can use the picks to climb back out onto the ice.
He also recommends some sort of an inflatable cushion that you sit on when you're fishing on a bucket. He said that wearing a flotation coat or any kind of personal flotation device is always a good idea. Larscheid says when the ice is thick and good for fishing, it becomes the equalizer for those who don't have a boat to use on the water to get to the best fishing holes.
When it's ice covered, everybody can get to those sites. Our website, we have all the habitat features and lakes that are downloadable, so you can use your GPS unit, you can use your phone, and actually go right to those sites, and you're right on top of those, you know, critical habitat areas that hold fish.
Larscheid says ice fishing is a pretty inexpensive thing to do.
You just need something to punch a hole through the ice, a simple ice auger, and very simple fishing equipment. And if you go to our website, you can see tips on how to be successful. And most people that go ice fishing love it, because they can catch a lot of fish in a very short time period, and it's just a lot of fun.
The state fishing license works for ice fishing on regular fishing, and the limits are the same. Fishing licenses expire January 10th, and you should check your license before heading out to make sure it isn't expiring. Elsewhere in the news, a woman wanted on a felony warrant for assault causing serious injury was brought to the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Monday afternoon. A bail bondsman transported 22-year-old Shay Gomez of Council Bluffs to the sheriff's parking lot, and once the warrant was confirmed, Gomez was placed under arrest and transported to the Pott County Jail. 35-year-old Carrie Williams of Des Moines was arrested at around 1:50 a.m. also on Christmas Day after the vehicle she was in broke down at mile marker 48 on Interstate 80. A routine records check showed that Williams had a warrant out of Madison County for being a fugitive from justice. She was brought to the Pott County Jail and held pending extradition to Madison County. And Tuesday afternoon, 51-year-old Julie Ann Fries of Council Bluffs was arrested on felony charges of theft in the first degree and dependent adult abuse by exploitation. Fries was taken into custody after a deputy was dispatched to 757 North Highway Street to check on a wanted party. A caller had reported that Fries was on location and had a valid warrant. She'd previously been told to call 911 if Fries showed up at the address. When the deputy made contact with Fries, she said that she hadn't done anything wrong, but after a brief discussion, the woman was taken into custody and transported to the Pott County Jail. The Iowa State University football team won't be the only group from Iowa to take the field at the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Texas tomorrow night. The marching band from Galen Catholic School in Lamar's will be performing during halftime. Lisa Neibauer, the school's development director, says the entire trip will have an educational focus.
Educational in the sense of the competition, as well as working with the clinicians for the mass band performance on music. We are doing some history education by going to the Alamo. There is some science education too, from us going to the SeaWorld as well as the Natural Discovery Caverns.
While in Texas, the band will compete in a marching band contest with around 20 other bands that will be there from various sizes of schools participating in Alamo Bowl festivities. Neibauer said that the trip also serves as a community outreach, as the Bowls are nonprofit organizations with proceeds from the event going to Fort Sam Houston Hospital, which serves members of the military.
Since patriotism and citizenship are an important component of what we do at Galen, from everything from our Veterans Day prayer service to saying the pledge every day, one of the reasons why we choose the Alamo Bowl is because it's a way for us to give back to our servicemen and women.
Neibauer's husband Paul is the band's director, and she notes the 37-member marching band is getting plenty of attention from across Iowa.
It's a real testimony this year to our community, because Ames and Des Moines has been picking up the coverage of Lamar's, and lots of people are saying, even the athletic director from Iowa State sent Paul and I a personal note that we shared with the band and said they're going to be cheering with Galen.
This will mark the sixth time Galen has performed at a college bowl game. A federal researcher says farm runoff from the Mississippi River is a factor in damaging algae blooms in the Gulf of Mexico. This year, Florida saw one of its worst algae blooms on record, which is called a red tide. The massive event killed dolphins, sea turtles, and thousands of fish, sending their carcasses on shore. Oceanographer Richard Stump with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says Midwestern farm runoff contributes to red tides flowing into the Mississippi and onto the Gulf.
Somewhat higher levels of nitrogen are found in the lower salinity water, which follows with the Mississippi.
Added nitrogen in the Mississippi River can spark the blooms, but Stump says there are many other factors at play.
So that is another potential source. It's not the only source of nitrogen, I should emphasize that, but it is one.
Microscopic organisms thrive on nitrogen, and Stump says nutrient runoff from farm fields in the Midwest is certainly contributing to the deadly blooms.
From one year to another, it might be a little more of a factor if there's a little stronger eastward transport. So a huge part of this is going to be what are the prevailing winds doing?
Stump says other major factors in the algae blooms include runoff from Florida farms and wastewater facilities, as well as some naturally occurring sources. Well, prosecutors say thousands of individuals and businesses were victims of a large-scale scheme in which ordinary corn and soybeans were fraudulently marketed nationwide as certified organic. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Cedar Rapids said in a filing Wednesday that potentially tens of thousands of people were defrauded by Randy Constant and his associates into paying a premium for products that they didn't want. Constant of Chillicothe, Missouri, and three others have pleaded guilty and are currently awaiting sentencing. Constant, who owns an Iowa grain brokerage, acknowledged that he sold $142 million worth of corn, soybeans, and wheat over a 7.5-year period that wasn't organic, despite his representations. Constant was aware that most of his product was grown using non-organic methods. The buyers included companies who processed the grain into other products that were marketed as organic. Well, many Iowa farmers and agribusinesses continue to suffer the effects of steel and aluminum tariffs. Steve Sukup, of CFO of Sheffield-based Sukup Manufacturing, says trade retaliation this year from China, Canada, and Mexico has resulted in a 30% increase in steel prices.
Our farmers and the end customers that are, you know, having to pay the price, and obviously when prices rise, everybody takes a little bit of hesitation of, do I really want to pay that higher price? But, storage is so needed out there, so it's a headwind.
Sukup told Brownfield Ag News that he's surprised U.S. tariffs on Canada and Mexico remain in place despite leaders from all three countries signing a new trade agreement.
You know, lead times are the same, and the only reason the prices went up is because the U.S. steel mills could do it, and we've always bought all U.S. steel, so it feels like we're getting a double whammy there.
Sukup is a leading manufacturer of grain storage and grain handling equipment. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.